Mr. Shiver of Horowitz, Pashas Bilam, Prophet Bilam, magician, from sources in Bamidbar 22:2 through 25:9.
Good morning, everyone. The parsha this week is Parshas Volach, who wanted to bring the cleverest prophet or magician to try and threaten the people of Israel and get them off away from the Holy Land, Eretz Yisrael. So the sages asked that, why did Hashem, God, give prophecy to Bilam, or Rosha? Bilam means Bola Am. If somebody wants to destroy the Jewish people. We know the biography of Bilam. He was well known in the ancient world at the time of Yetziat Mitzrayim. He was the advisor to Paro, although he came from Syria, or some say between Syria, Aram Naharaim, which means by the Tigris and Euphrates, and that's where it came from. In the whole Middle East, he was the advisor to kings of other countries. And when Balak saw that Moab and Midian were about to be destroyed by the people of Israel, or parts of their territory, so he was afraid. So my question is, we know quite well, those of you who've been through the Parsha, that Bilam had three qualities. He was made a prophet by Hashem, because Hashem wanted to teach the no such thing as favoritism in his mind. Why did Hashem choose Avraham Avinu, the forefather of mankind? Wasn't he the forefather? Noah was the forefather. But Noah had three sons. And those three sons were in different directions. He didn't keep to the moral laws of the Torah. They were immoral and evil people, many of them. Worshipped idols. Were perverse in their pursuit of materialistic pleasures. So why did he want to bring Bilam in the picture of the Chumash altogether? The answer is, Hashem wanted to show that he's the father of all mankind. He wanted to create this globe so that human beings should develop morality. They should know God is a good God. He likes virtue. He wants people not to follow vice. He's given the human being something unique which doesn't exist in the whole world of nature. Because he's given them a conscience. He's given all human beings the ability to choose between good and evil. So the one who was chosen was a person who came from parents, the father, who created idols, an idol worshipper, corrupt people. But they obviously had certain aspects that they had inwardly, because it doesn't matter where a person comes from, it matters where a person is going in the future. And he saw that I created this globe to create such people. We Because I'm the father of all the nations, I chose from all the nations an individual, Avraham Avinu. So we can say, as I put in the title, that Bilam had three characteristics, which is shown not only in the Parsha Bilam, shown also in the Tanakh. If you go through the Tanakh and see where the mention of Bilam, it's got a special significance. The person Hashem creates geniuses amongst the nations of the world. He also creates people who have inwardly, every human being has inwardly a conscience. But if they don't have a conscience, conscience means, in Torah terms, to be consciousness of the God who is demands good and hates evil. As it goes through the whole Tanakh, this concept, the whole of Tehillim. So, what should we call him? You call him a prophet? Yes. Call him a magician? Yes, he knew all the magic tricks and some of the tricks that magicians play today. And some of them had a great insight into occult methods of understanding the secret aspects also in nature, which don't see simply. But everything depends in life. You have to choose life so that you will live. What does it mean? It's the same thing. But there's a different concept of life, which is developed also in the Chumash and the Tanakh, especially in Bereishis also, that life can be understood in terms of a physical life. That's called Nefesh HaBahamis. That's the animal nature of every human being. We are in part similar to the beasts, but we are not the beasts. Not because of our special method of thinking, of memory. There are some of the animals who've got a better memory than we have, decided. But it all speaks about the essence of morality. Because that English expresses very well, God is good. A person who likes good, he could become a disciple of God. A person who likes evil, who likes vice instead of virtue, but giving more pleasure, no good. So I'll go on. First I'll ask you the question. What was he? Was he a prophet? Was he a sort of magician? Or was he just an animalistic human being? What's your view? Please answer me. I'm asking you a question. You all learned this part, you know about it a bit. So what's your view?
He was definitely a prophet, but only a prophet for knowing the time when Hashem was angry. A prophet of telling the future was only through the stars that he knew. But coming down from Shemayim, that he didn't get. But he only knew when Hashem was angry in order to curse somebody.
Anyone else wants to say?
Okay. Yeah.
You have to speak low.
Speak louder.
Speak louder. Yes, I would think that, or my understanding would be that he was born into the world and he had the potential for greatness. He had the potential for leading the non-Jewish nations in a good direction.
And that, Very good. Very good also. So, people who give us the best answer, we find in the most important Mishnah, which has been goes back as tradition to Moshe Rabbeinu. Pirkei Avot, the sages say, does not deal with the written law, although it explains it. And it deals with explanation of the written law, what it really means for human behavior. And where we have traditions to go back to Sinai. The Ezra of the Fathers is the key both to understand the power of the oral tradition, Torah Shebaal Peh, and the importance for a person to study it and absorb it, whether it's Jew or non-Jew, and the principles there, they're based upon knowing that Hakinu v'atayv v'kavod motzi'il et ha'olam et ha'adam min ha'olam, which is jealousy and taiva, materialistic instincts. If they take over a person, then he's taken out from the world of truth, and he might not be able to have part in future life. The same applies, the third one, hakavod. A person wants to be appreciated by others, become a famous person, whether it's in politics or whether it's in communities or it's in a family. No? But that must not be your aim. It takes you away from the world of truth. If we look further in Pirkei Avot, what do we find? In the chapter 5, Mishnah 22, he who has three attributes is among the disciples of Avraham Avinu, and three other attributes mark the disciples of the lawless Bilam. First, I'll ask you the question, why didn't he say straight away? Why the disciples? One of those who follow Avraham Avinu, those who follow Bilam Harasha. Why did he say that? Any answer? This question of David. Do you understand the question? I'm asking, why does Mishnah speak about the disciples? It's good enough to think of Avraham Avinu and what he did, knocking down the idols and preaching everywhere to all human beings the seven commandments given to Noah to change all mankind in their behavior. Why say the disciples? No answer? Well, the answer is very simple. How am I able, give an example myself, how am I able to enter into the realm of saying these words I'm saying? They only come to me because they received from my teachers. The Talmud Torah Kenegad Kulam, which say every day, is the biggest chesed in the world, because the chesed is the chesed, Torah chesed, al shona. Torah chesed is the base of the Torah. Loving kindness, there's a spark of loving kindness which all human beings have within themselves, they use it properly. The love which we have, maybe we don't even know who God is, but some people don't know who it is. They don't know, they were not taught anything about God. That God is left out of their vocabulary, whether it's kibbutzim or whether it's communist state or wherever it has been all generations. But if they love other people, because Hashem, His essence is love, why did He create human beings? Why does He say He needs them? He doesn't need them. He wants to create human beings to be God-like. They'll have freedom to do good. The question is, are they going to follow God or they're going to idols, stupidities, and go to the Nefesh HaBahamet, the animal nature, instead of living themselves to the Neshama, Nishmas Chayim, the Neshama, which got different levels. All this, by the way, is described in the Rambam in unique ways in his introduction to Pirkei Avot, which is a classic in understanding true psychology human beings. And I think on the internet you'll probably find that I gave a course on Torah psychology. Use it, because what I say, I only got it from my teachers, I only got it from my parents, I got it from their parents, and then it goes back, Yichus goes back to Shmuel HaNavi. I mean, this is why I'm able to carry on the chain. And I'm very pleased that you are helping me here, all those, to continue this. It's really my purpose, not other things. My real purpose is to carry on all the traditions I've received from all my great teachers, who were one of the greatest teachers of their generation, of the previous generation. So that I want to pass on to you. That's why it says disciples. But let's go on to what are the disciples. It says disciples of said a good eye, a humble mind, an undemanding spirit are the characteristics of the disciples of our father Abraham. But an evil eye, a haughty mind, and a demanding spirit are the characteristics of the disciple of the lawless Belial. Where is this described more in detail, this concept? What I said before, because these are the three elements that existed in Bilam. He was a great prophet, because Hashem said, I'm going to be equal to my chosen people. And you see, if you look carefully, you tell me yourselves now, where do you find in the Parsha that Bilam, the lawless one, the evil one, where did he find a model to follow? What does he say in the Parsha? Dovid. What does it say in the Parsha?
Talk louder.
I was thinking, I mean, one thing is where he says, like, may my end be like theirs, like
that's right.
People.
For most nafshim, Moshe Shurim, he said, because he was shown in prophecy how the Jews die on the last days of their life. What are they like? Because then they feel they're going to Olam Abba, they're entering gradually into disrobing themselves of the garment of the body, and the whole soul, which is really perfection of the mind to its highest level of following virtue instead of vice, when they reach that level, they're happy, they're able to do some good in the world, and that brings them also to be able to get into what we call today the life of Mashiach Tzidkenu, of Mashiach, and also the life of Olam Habo, the future life. But where do we find the parallels that ended in the Parsha? What did Bilam say? Or what did Balak say about Bilam? They knew in the Middle East that his blessings were fulfilled. And his Hashem gave him the same quality that was given to whom? To Avraham Avinu. That he went much further. What was Avraham Avinu's greatest level of spirituality? What was it?
Bringing people closer to Hashem.
That was early on. That he did right from the start. But nearly, when he was much older, what did he do?
The
Akedat Yitzchak. The greatest sacrifice in the world was offering up his own son, Yitzchak, special son, the son who dedicated himself entirely to spirituality. And when was that? The Akeda wedding took place. Where was it? Place of the Beis Hamikdash, Zahar Moria. Yeah. So they were able to receive the Torah on Har Moriah. The Torah was given in Sinai, but it came into its actuality through the Beis Hamikdash, because the whole concept of the Akedat Yitzchak, giving up everything for the command of Hashem. In other words, Avraham Avinu was a prophet. Therefore, he couldn't deny the fact that Hashem asked him to offer him up. But the offering was really a test, the highest test in life. They also the highest test sometimes, if a person's got a son, and the son is given something that's death-like, yeah? And he gives himself up to the son. In the Holocaust, this question often arose, because fathers and sons both, there was a question of one of them would be saved, which one should go first. So, in some sense, in certain instances, The Son comes before the Father. That your Father wants to follow it. Or should he follow his life? So the life of the Son who carries on the traditions, carries on the tradition, everything that the Father has worked on, you've got one Son. And then that's the highest sacrifice a person can make. And which also proves that the prophecy to Abraham must have come to him so clearly. It's true, the Yetzirah was, the Chazal would say, the Yetzirah of Abraham came on him, that maybe he should not do it. But he was ready to do it. Hashem didn't want him to do it, someone test him. It was like a test, it's something made that you don't want to fulfill. Because the person got to show that he's ready to do it if necessary. And where did it become an actual halachic matter? In the Holocaust, these were things. And generally, parents would say, I'll have to go in the Pesach chamber, but you stay outside. Maybe Hashem will save you. I know of many instances that have happened. As I lived through it as well in certain ways, myself. That's what was happening. But my son had relatives who were uncles who had this problem. He was a great saint, and he died in Auschwitz. And he could have saved himself. But because he wanted to save his students, he had a few students. So if he would escape, they wouldn't escape. So this is the highest level. So I want you to tell me, where do you find? You find first of all, he was recognized, the same phrase was used for Abraham Avinu, was used for him. So what did he do? He also was on a donkey. He rode the donkey. So this is a take explanation of Maral, this is, but it's very deep. We know that the physical things that are mentioned in the biographies of our saints, going back to Abraham Avinu, they also have their deep significance. And I suppose all you know, what's the prophecy, who's going to be the Mashiach? How will Mashiach appear? He'll be a poor man, that's nothing. He'll be riding a donkey. Yeah? He doesn't have a car, doesn't have a horse, just rides on a donkey. So this is contained in the Hebrew language. Hebrew language, the holy language. They say, how do you know that the world was created in Lashon HaKodesh? You know what Chazal say? David, how do you know the world was created? The world was created in Lashon HaKodesh, in the holy language. How do you know? It's the holy language, the holy language as well. That's why the Ulpan is so important. Yeah. If you don't know Hebrew, it's very difficult to understand Chazal. But if you know Hebrew, it helps. So what's called Chomer today? Chomer. What's Chomer? What's it? Chomer means cement. Yeah? Synthetic plastic things that you change their form. So it's soft a bit, you change their form. So it's Baruch says, Chazal says something which is not easy to understand. They say that the same donkey that Avraham Avinu rode, the same donkey was also the one Moshe Rabbeinu rode. When Moshe Rabbeinu came from Midian, had to come to, with his wife, had to come to call back to come to Mitzrayim, he was told to go back to Mitzrayim and redeem the people, he rode on his donkey, the same donkey. Yeah? And that same donkey is also going to be the donkey which the Moshiach comes. It's a donkey lived to all generations. So the Maral says, but David, you heard this about the donkey? And we see Balaam tried to copy it. Balaam knew this. He also wrote on the donkey. So he says that every human being has a nefesh bahamit. He's got an animal soul. It goes very well with the Rama. So that the animal soul is not there to rule man, it's there to be used by man. The shitta of the Torah, the method of thinking, is not one that we say should ignore it. That's a Christian idea. Ignore the body, going to fast. The fast mentioned in the Chumash, and the fast mentioned in Tanakh, and by Chazal, in the Megillah Esther, there are fast days to make sure that your decisions should be for good and not for evil, for no ulterior motives based on your instincts. Because your instincts underneath each person, Hashem gives them a test. Hashem did not create human beings to be saints. He created them to be people who can choose to be a saint. Got a choice. He created the world because of saints. But how do you reach saint? Don't think that if your father was a big saint, you're a big saint. That wouldn't it? I mean, if you go deeply into the Rebbe's, all of them denied their own to be saintliness. But that's one of the conditions. If you think you're a saint, that means you think you're perfect. You've got to be perfect with Hashem. You've got to make a perfection with Hashem. You can't be completely perfect. It says, if Kedoshim to you, should be holy unto me. Yes. And Kedoshim there is not with a vav. Ki Kadosh ani, I am holy with a vav. With a vav is complete, without a vav is incomplete. Only one who is absolutely perfect is Hashem. And we are not absolute beings. We're all relative. We're bound by time and space. We're bound by causality. Certain things, we can't change that. That's how it happens. But we can change our character. We don't have to regard the body as just sitting on top of the mind. The body's got to be bottom of the mind. In other words, the mind just makes it pure with Hashem. And that's why these three qualities are described by the sages in what you shouldn't do, which were the qualities of Bilam. These three qualities of Bilam, who had a haughty mind, a demanding, that means he follows the demands in his body, are the characteristics of the disciple of the Lord's Bilam. But Avraham Avinu, he had a good eye, perfect eye. It says, disciples of Avraham Avinu are good eye, humble mind, humility, that's one of the qualities. I mean, must tell you about the zchus to be the great grandson of the Aruch HaNer, who was regarded in his time as the last Gaon of Europe. Yeah. Never, even until today, nearly all his Sfarim on the Gemara and Halacha, they are constantly being republished. They learned in nearly all the yeshiva.
And in the art school.
Hmm?
And it's published in the art school.
Yes.
It's one of the main commentators in the Bavli art school.
Yeah, very good. So this is a difference. So what did he do? Hashem showed in this part of the week that the first thing that interested Bilam when Boba wanted him to curse the people was money. He said, because where's it shown? Tell me where it's shown. He was interested in becoming. He was a millionaire already, but like many millionaires, only top of the list of the Forbes of horses. They want to be right on the top. He was right on the top of all the big giants who had the biggest properties, biggest, at that time, the biggest flocks and so on. That's why he had to separate from Avraham Avinu, had to separate from Lot. Because a lot was also interested in becoming more rich in terms of that age. I must tell you, by the way, also, you shouldn't think that that we know about Bilam only from the Tanakh. There's a great deal known about him in excavations. Emet Me'eret, we live in such an age where the Torah is being proved all the time. Because the Rambam asks a question in his life, Guide for the Perplexed. Rambam asks, why is it in the Chumash we find so many dates and so many places mentioned, and we don't know, don't even know where they are, many of those places. The Rambam says that in the course of time, it will prove the truth of the Tanakh. And so much so that in all the battles that are taking place here in Eretz Israel in recent times, the people who were able to give guidance were the biggest archaeologists, and they studied each place according to what it was, according to the guides given in the Chumash, in the Sefer Yeshua, Book of Joshua. There's Wingate, which was long Jew, Wingate, who was training soldiers in Israel in the beginning, which started with an army. He took that army, especially Wingate School, he took the army and told them, together with the Book of Joshua and other books, they analyzed each place and found out where it was, but remnants being left over. So it's also left over in the remnants. Every few months there comes a new excavation. And Bilam ben Baor is mentioned on 3,000 years ago, on something which you can work out the date. From 3,000 years ago, it meant Bilam ben Baor. So that's why they mention. And that's what Bilam, any other comments or questions so far? Yes, please. Big loud. No questions?
No.
Okay. Actually, one question would is that I've heard someone or some rabbi suggested that it was the nations of the world that corrupted Bilam. Was it, in other words, was it that Bilam was corrupted? Do you feel like Bilam was corrupted by the people around him, or is that he himself just gave in?
You want to know if Bilam was corrupted from the other nations, from the nations, or was him personally?
The corruptions, you can prove that it was him personally. Why? Can you prove it from the text itself? Go further. I'll put it in this way. We can call it the lawlessness of him. All the way through, he said he can't say anything unless Hashem puts in his mouth. So even the sages say, what does it mean to put in his mouth? Hashem used him as a puppy. And in fact, the way Hashem runs the world, because he's given these human beings the ability to become the wickedest people ever, he's given the ability to become the greatest saints. He's left it to their choice. So it's like a person who's running a puppet show. Yeah? So you can change it according to what he feels is good. It says, Lev Malachim Biyad Hashem, the heart of kings, people who have power, is in the hands of Hashem. Because otherwise they destroy the world. But Hashem has to control the big leaders, the biggest ones, and the biggest influence. Actually, they also take the superpowers and take the prime minister or the heads of the different states, difference in North and South Korea, difference in America and Russia. And now we've got, it's all conflicts of superpowers, one with the other. Iran and the state. And Russia, also, this is what mankind is dealing with. This is what's written daily in the papers, how it's going on. And this goes on also in the Knesset. It goes on everywhere in the world, in the parliaments. And this is, that's their occupation. Our occupation is to study the Torah and get into it. We want to develop the conscience. We want to develop purity, purity of thought, purity of action. Because we're given guidance, Hashem gives guidance in the Sheva Mitzvah to all human beings, go further, deeper into it, it's really the universal law of Hashem, is the Sheva Mitzvot, if you go into it thoroughly, as you find in some, you find it in also a Jewish study magazine, and also on the internet. So this is, we have to, and we, as I said, all human beings are in the hand of Hashem. So you have, and you can prove that Bilam, as long as he was there, but what happened when near the end of the parsha? It's very interesting. Always he said, you only say what God puts in his mouth. And sometimes it means that, so he couldn't really curse the people. Hashem stopped him cursing. But what did he do? What did he do at the end?
He sent the ladies.
He said, Yotzecha, Ma Om Hazeh Yasel Amcha Ba'achrit HaYamim. Now those words, David, listen, those words are very important. Yotzecha. What does Yotzecha mean? It means in English. It said when they near the end of his prophecy, all filled with praise of the highest level. Ma Toivu Avelecha Yaakov is the first words which you say in the Siddur every morning, those coming to the shul. Ma Toivu, how goodly are your tents, Israel. Your tents are two types. The home is a tent of God, and the synagogue is the tent of God. The first verse we use. He said, Om Levadat Yishkom. This is a nation that stands alone. And there's a whole book on it, a very famous essay by one who gave in the United Nations somewhere, in Canada it was. So he gave them a talk and explained, the people of Israel are always alone. Yeah? We're alone people. We go our way. It is alone. And people know that. People of Israel, in some ways, it makes it very difficult. People are apt not to agree with us, but you speak in the name of God in the Israel Parliament, they will close. They stop you using it. Yeah? People who don't believe in Hashem, they go and make even the host. They don't say, oh, God saves the Queen, God saves the King. That's English. In American also, God comes into the national anthem. But in Israel, when Israel started, there was a whole argument. Can we mention God in Declaration of Independence? There was so much against it. Instead, they agreed we put a Tzur Israel, the Rock of Israel. The people interpret the Rock of Israel could also mean the army. It is the Rock of Israel. So it gives strength. Yeah? Hashem also Moyitein gives strength. But we say also means Torah. And Tzur Israel is that they keep to Israel. Israel means that God rules the world. Yeah, really. Israel, the word Israel means God rules the world. So the struggle maybe to come near to him, but nevertheless he's the ruler. If you don't accept that, you don't accept the name Israel. Use the name Israel all the time, as you say. Israel means God. God rules. That's the essence of the struggle with Yaakov and Esau. Esau wants to deny the moral God. Yeah. Esau, of course, Esau is after identified with Rome. Yeah? No God. The Romans, they came to the temple, they said, what God is in the temple? Yeah, I won't go into detail what happened there, but this is the God in the, where's the roots of the temple? It's in the heart. Bilvavi, Evnesh, Shmishkan. In my heart, our famous song, I've got to build the Mishkan in my heart. It's also the Mikdos, the Shechanti Pesuchim. I should make the Mikdos not because I dwell there in physically, like other religions believe, physically. It's not physical. But it means spiritually. God is always in my heart. And everything Beit HaMikdash is really for the heart. If you read the commentary of Rav Yosh, it's a fantastic commentary by Yikra, which is one of the things which was the basis of the biblical criticism. He explains how every aspect of the offerings of Korban, how you come nearer to God. the external, like tefillin. Tefillin contains the Torah of Hashem, and it contains, you, through tefillin, you come to make a bond together with Hashem. When put around the finger, it's the ring we have, that we're married, Ikeel, we're like, we like to be the one who's married to Hashem. It's Erasish Leolam. How about the concept? Chas v'shalom, any person should think of this in physical terms, and that applies to everything. The first section of the Guide to the Plex is to show how all the references to God, which are found in the Bible, and so many materialistic ones, they all have a symbolical meaning. It's not physical. Because the Quran said, if you think God is physical in any way, then you are called an apostate.
Right. That's chapter 15, Guide for the Perplexed.
So this is why, when he gave advice, Bilam, he gave advice, the only way you can deal with the people of Israel and avoid God is I can give you personal advice. If you want really to do harm, the people of Israel have to remain moral, not become like animals. So go and use your beautiful girls. Let all of them stand outside. It is that the Israelites should see, and they will see what will happen. Because at the same time, bring your God. There's a special way of a Pa'or, which is the most beastly concept. So take away the basis of Kedushat Am Yisrael. Because the animal soul destroys. People are very rich. Follows his taiva, follows his trap, and it could be deity, or follows his covert, all these of those things. So it's going to kill his soul. It gets killed, it becomes like an animal. And then 24,000 were killed as a result, because they were all involved in idolatry. And that brings the next parasha, Pinchas. So this is the Eitzah he gave. It says, Ba'achrit ha-yamim. So, yes, open it.
I'm wondering, from your share, how should we interpret Bilam? Should we interpret him as a standalone figure in terms of this being, I mean, the Jews didn't even know this was happening. That's what's amazing about the Parsha. That Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, oh, by the way, write this down. This is what was happening, and you didn't even know about it. So they write it down. And are we supposed to look at this as a standalone set of ideas with Bilam in terms of the nations, or in terms of the other guy who comes along, Muhammad, who claims that he's a prophet, obviously not a prophet. Moshe Rabbeinu goes through and God reflects, explains why he's not a prophet, he's just a man. But nonetheless, they come and they claim, Ishmael comes and claims that this guy is the prophet. And they'll point to this. They'll say, look, Hashem sent Bilam, who was a prophet, to the Goyim, and they sent us our guy from the desert, right? Are we supposed to look at Bilam as this standalone figure, or as something else, like what would happen with Ishmael later on? Is there a connection between the fake prophet of Ishmael and something with Bilam? Are the sets of ideas similar? I tell you another thing, that usually when you see the rise of Christianity, you see the fall of the Bene Midrash. And another tragedy, when Muhammad is born, you see the closing of the Babylonian Talmud. Many Gemaras we don't have because they stopped writing it. Who would ultimately close down the academy in Babel? Is the descendants of Ishmael, of Muhammad. They closed the academy, learning Babel. Are we supposed to look at this as a standalone, or is this connected to something with Muhammad? Thank you.
So, the character of Bilam, what the Hashem gave him, the highest human qualities, which is yet necessary for prophecy. He gave him also a conscience at the highest level. Yeah? But since he was given so all these gifts, and he chose the opposite, exactly opposite. For example, the riding of the donkey, what was it for him?
Why
is it described all the story about the donkey? Rambam says it's a moshel, but most commentators say it's actual, because one of the miracles mentioned, piyaton, you know, it's creation. So because it shows us, you see, even the power of speech can be given to an animal, it can be taken away from a human being for no reason, apparently. But there's always a reason behind it. It comes from Hashem. People think of what sin has been committed. He used the moshel of the donkey, but Avraham Avinu, he took a sheep donkey, and he was a bestialitist. That was his pleasure. The donkey was his pleasure. Gave him gratification for his base instincts. He was a bestialitist. He was a pervert, a complete pervert. Yeah, he was a pervert in everything. You see it from his Eitzah. The Eitzah gave was to go and kill the Jewish people by cutting at the essence of the Jewish people, which is to be pure, to try for purity. And if a person abuses that which is even the source of procreativity, of carrying on generations, having a family, and have it as it should be. That this is why Tarat HaMishpacha is so important for Am Yisrael. If you don't have Tarat HaMishpacha, then it's likely to create immorality in the family, of Jewish family. We're supposed to set an example to the Gentiles. We've got to make Kiddush Hashem instead of the Chilul Hashem. Whenever a Jew does something wrong, it's a Chilul Hashem. And that's why we have to be very careful. You've got to be safe in the eyes of mankind. You've got to be medical. But I must end with something which is very important for today. Because it says in the novelty, I've written an Eitza, which has to be used by Acharit HaYamim. Acharit HaYamim is end of days. And it's used frequently in the Chumash. Every time it's used, it speaks about the present situation. Because history carries on and gets like the Chofetz Chaim with this motion, it's like a spin, it goes faster and faster. Everything, technology from which previously took from one level to the other took perhaps a few years, now it can run a few minutes. Yeah? Now we've got communication, took a few hours, now we've got instant communication anywhere in the world with anything. Yeah? Instant visions also you can see. Well, you see the onset. So if you're always looking there, and Achrit HaYamim means end of days. It means before Yimot HaMashiach. And in this instance, I'm going to quote you the Rambam here. You ask the question, when will Mashiach come? Where is it mentioned? There's not much mention in the Chumash about Mashiach. We know it from tradition. But not in the Chumash. The Rambam says it is mentioned the failures in the Chumash. Where? Bilam. Bilam mentioned the Chumash.
Right.
He was given so much prophecy from Hashem that not only Mar Tovu, but no, not even Mashiach, he quotes it because he refers to it. The Rach Kochav Yaakov. That the star will come from Yaakov. That's the star. The star is, and was actually Rabbi Kiva on the level. That he could have done that, but because of sins of the people, and also on his level, for his great level of sinfulness, was also something faulty. He couldn't be the Mashiach. So therefore, there's no such thing. All the saints say, "I'm not Mashiach." And therefore, when I heard that Rabbi Shimon says Mashiach, when I first met him, I discussed all with him. He says, "Chas v'shalom is the Mashiach." He says, "It says Atikru Mashiachay." We say every day the word Atikru Mashiachay. You should not touch and do harm to my Mashiachim. Mashiachim means to be anointed. Kohen Gadol was anointed, also Mashiach. So in your name and Allah, for the Kohen Gadol. Because there's a symbol. It's anointing with the oil of the Mashiach is mentioned by Bilam. He was given such a highest opportunity, even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have it himself. But Rav Shenitz, Chazal say, he composed the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu. He was a direct revelation of Hashem, all the words of the Torah, and Parshas Bilam. Because Parshas Bilam doesn't mention Moshe Rabbeinu at all. Yeah? But why? Because he wants to make sure, Hashem, that the nations should never be able to state that we produce geniuses, we produce good people as well, we also have saints. The Gentiles, you give them something, you give them a high mind, genius, they use it for evil. You'll find that even amongst the scientists, that the scientists are Jews, in the end, they turn out to really have an understanding, they realize, like Einstein, for example, Einstein, the Jewish education. Yeah. But he said, to believe in Hashem. The essays. So I see this going on all the time. We had in the yeshiva, we had a very good student, the son of Sir Ernest Chain, the Nobel Prize, big biochemist, one of the founders of this penicillin. And he used to come to the yeshiva to listen to what's going on in shul, and he was so impressed. He said, but this heritage has to be preserved. The Jews have got a nakuda of silphas from forefathers of Jewish concept, even Freud also. He had a Talmud from Velikovsky, who was a traditional Jew, a big psychologist, but he also at the same time big bokin midroshim. And he showed him what it meant. It's something like the way the Maral interprets for us in Yonei Kabbalah on a deeper level. So he also recognized this, that the Torah was true, or that previously had written most of monotheism, the biggest heretic disbelief that went all through mankind with a series of psychoanalysis. But still, he recognized in the end, near the end of his life, maybe also he recognized that we've got a higher level. It's so important for today, because today the vast majority of Jews are intermarried, are assimilated, and the only thing to do which can save them is kiddul. The only gula will come from Amisrael due to Shuba. And we must, those of us who are able to pass on the importance of bringing people back to true faith in Hashem, true faith in morality, if they've got good midas, they can do it quickly. If they really love the people, who really love to, between man and man, and that can reach them easily to step one foot further and recognize that power of love comes from the one who loves us most, which is our Creator. So let's hope that will happen our day, and that instead of having these days big demonstrations being made by those who have things against the Haredim, it says at the end of the book of Isaiah, this is used the word Haredim. The Haredim are the ones who will bring the footstool of Hashem, and they're going to want the ones who have the ability to change the whole world. And it's Hashem. I've left here, if anyone wants to copy it, I've left here the Rambam on this. I've also left here, I leave them here, to make photocopies. I've also gave a talk on these lines some years ago, so was a printed out.
Yes, Koch, Rebbe, thank you so much.
Thank you.